I want you to try something with me for just a moment. I want you to hold your breath. Seriously, I want you to hold your breath right now. So here we go. In 3, 2, 1, hold your breath. Keep holding it while I ask you a couple of questions. First, how does money make you feel? Now keep holding your breath. I don't want you to just stop, pause, and think about how money makes you feel. I really want you to feel that question. When you think about money, does it make you feel relaxed, peaceful, confident? Keep holding your breath. Or does money make you feel anxious, nervous, overwhelmed? Now, if you're still holding your breath, keep holding it. Because the feeling that you're feeling right now is what 85% of Americans feel when they think about money. Stop holding your breath. This feeling, this anxiety, this includes your account holders. It includes those who you work with at your financial brand. And maybe, just maybe, this includes you too. But here's the thing. There is an uncommon guide that I want to share with you on today's Banking on Digital Growth podcast that can help you. It can help your team, and it can help your account holders master money so that together you can all transform your lives for the better. Greetings and hello. My name is James Robert Lay, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Banking on Digital Growth podcast. Today's episode is part of the Exponential Insight series, and joining me for today's conversation is Daniel White. Daniel is the author of The Financial Freedom System, an uncommon guide to master your money and transform your life. And today, Daniel and I are going to talk through the Financial Freedom System and how it can help you help others, how it can help you guide people, maybe even guide yourself beyond financial stress that is taking a toll on people's health, their relationships, their overall sense of well-being, maybe even your own health, relationship, and well-being, so that together we can all increase our financial confidence by establishing a strong foundation that elevates peace as we journey toward and forward, creating an even bigger, better, and brighter future together. Welcome to the show, Daniel. It is so good to share time with you today, buddy.
It's the same for me. Awesome.
I have been looking forward to this conversation since I picked up your book, The Financial Freedom System. Before we get into talking about this, what is good in your life right now, personally or professionally? It is always your pick to get started on a positive note. Tell me something good.
All right. So I'm just about to buy a new office so I can move. I've been working from home since COVID, and I wanted to get a new space where I can move everything out of home. And that's super exciting. So I'm looking at properties now. And I'm just about to sign up a second EA. I've got one for personal life and one for business. So I'm very excited about that growth in the business. It's wonderful.
You know, I know we're both in the strategic coach world, and the thinking of who, not how, when you can find who's to your how and stop worrying about the how, it really is a transformative perspective. And it is my hope that with your book, The Financial Freedom System, you become a who for those who are looking to increase their financial confidence. And I know this book it's an uncommon guide to master your money and to transform your life. Why write this book, and why now?
So it was my story, how I got out of all the stress, the fatigue, the drain from financial problems and worries. And then I started teaching it to clients. And it became part of my foundation series that I work on different aspects of people's lives. And the reason now, coincidentally, you know, I was preparing it before COVID, so it was perfect timing, because people started to realize, hang on, I'm not as secure as I thought I was. Or if they were stressed about money, amplified. So it's a good timing for people to start to change their ways about their relationship with money, basically. So yeah, that's how it began now.
Well, the way that you frame that this is your story and your experience and the patterns that you have identified and that you're then teaching others to elevate their financial confidence, it does come back to reframing the relationships that we have with money. And yeah, you're right. 85% of people in the United States are struggling with financial stress and financial anxiety. And can you take us back in time to a time where you were feeling that stress? What was life like for you back then?
A lot of physical tension in the body, a lot of sleepless nights, wondering how I'm going to pay my bills or where's my next client coming from. A lot of not grabbing reality. You know, money is just a tool. It's sure. Just an exchange of energy. It's nothing special. It's just the way we exchange our work for other people's work and in the form of money. So it's all the stuff that's been layered on top of money that's causing all the problems for people. And then also the influence from others, like sales reps or marketing or everything, has an impact on our psychology. And if we don't have a solid foundation, we're easily led this way and that way, and then suddenly we've got no money left, right, from the hard-earned money. So it's just a tool for exchange of energy, but we want to use it as a tool, not have it control us. And that's the whole purpose behind this. You become the master of money, rather money become the master of you.
It's interesting you talk about money being an exchange of energy. And we think about current and currency and some of the words that are associated with money. I also think about what you just tapped into, influence. This has been something that I have been surfacing in a lot of the conversations I've been having with financial brand marketing teams lately, and asking them if you could distill down marketing into one word, what would that be? And a lot of them will reply back the tactical side of things. It's ads, it's email, it's social media. And I'm like, well, those are aspects of marketing. But if we go down to its core, marketing is one thing. It's influence.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's I find it fascinating that there are financial marketers who are not thinking with that perspective. And that's where I feel like through the work that we're doing to put the transformation, or to really inspire financial brands to put the transformation of people above the commoditized transaction of dollars and cents, we have to be very mindful of how we go to market. What are we communicating? I know that through some of the research that we've been doing when it comes to money and financial matters, people are looking for two very simple things. They're looking for help and they're looking for hope. And for many, hope has to come long before they're open, able, willing to receive help. And I think about your book, The Financial Freedom System. It is a book of hope. And you touched on this too, relationship with money. And you mentioned you were experiencing a lot of tension in the body. If we go back to that previous time period, how would you define your relationship with money back then?
It was definitely something outside of myself that controlled me, not the other way around. And when we get, I talk a lot about it in the book, about above the neck versus below the neck.
Yes.
When we're stuck above the neck, we're easily influenced because we don't have any grounding in our body. And so it's easy to get pulled this way or that way by something shiny and, oh, you know that, right? The squirrel. Yeah. So it's like finding all this excitement, and then you realize later when you get your bank balance, whoops, what did I do that for? So back, we want to get you below the neck, get you solid in your body, so that when you go have all this influence coming at you, you're actually resistant to it.
Correct.
And then you say, you know what, let me choose So you have freedom of choice to choose in that moment and not hurt yourself by trusting your intuition, trusting what's inside, your knowing inside of you, what works and that doesn't work, rather than the mind, which will just go any way it gets pulled.
I think that's a great way to frame this. And you're tapping into something that I wrote about in Banking on Digital Growth, that there's the, we'll call it the banker's brain, very, we'll call it smart, analytical, numbers driven. But then there's the consumer's mind or the consumer's brain, more emotive. And the idea of above the neck versus below the neck, there's the head, there's the heart, there's the stomach, the gut even there. Yeah. And when we go back to your story and narrative, it was April of 1999. And you were celebrating 5 years in business.
Yep. Very exciting. Because most businesses fail in 5 years.
Exactly. So you had reached this milestone, a very important milestone, but there was a problem. You had nothing to show for your work, as you wrote about in the book. The good news is, though, you had a breakthrough. And that breakthrough comes back to what you were talking about, this sense of agency, this sense of control, this sense of responsibility. You made a decision to change your financial life starting with $35. And for those who are watching, for those who are listening, they might be in that exact situation. They might feel stressed. They might feel overwhelmed. They might be looking and thinking, well, I've got $35. How did $35 transform your life forever?
That's where it begins. Now, that was my number. Everyone has a different number.
Sure.
It's all finding what is your truth. And for the extreme example was a billionaire I worked with. And when he went through the process, his number was $15. All right. Wow. So why is this billionaire who could just buy planes and anything he wants have to go and start at such a low number?
Yeah.
Because that was the integrity in his body was telling him. And the reason why is because he inherited the company. He inherited the wealth. He didn't build it himself. So he's very successful and multiplied that wealth from when he began. However, he had tremendous stress. And by starting the $15 a week, he actually reduced his stress. The money was always, it was never a problem with money. He was very good at manifesting money and building positive, successful businesses. But the stress was what was hurting him. So getting rid of the stress below the neck allowed him to make even better decisions in the future because he was coming from a state of peace. Not, well, everyone knows when you're overwhelmed, it's easy to get sold by someone because you just can't think for yourself or you've got no gut instinct or you're just stressed. So to bring stress away from the body and bring peace in, you can make good decisions.
I want to pause on this point because you say everyone has their number. $35 was your number. Everyone has a number. This billionaire that you were working with, coaching, advising, his number was 15. And there's a little bit of contextual into why that number was there. It makes a tremendous amount of sense to me. I want to come back before we dive into what we're talking about here, this number. The below the neck, let me rephrase that, above the neck versus below the neck. For someone who is listening to this, they are most likely a financial brand leader. They work at a bank. They work at a credit union. How do we transform the thinking or inspire to move from the head to the heart to be open to this? And the reason I'm asking is the analytical mind looks at things differently than, say, the mind of the heart or the mind of the gut. What is a way to speak to that? And I wrote to this too in Banking on Digital Growth, that if we're going to put the transformation of people over the transaction of dollars and cents, we really have to get out of our own banker's brain and into the minds and hearts of other people.
So you don't want to let go of your brain. You don't want to let go of the analytical side, because it would serve you in making good decisions. What you want to do is build up your foundation below the neck, so that the stress goes away, so your mind is clearer. You can see clearer. You can feel better and know it's easier to know when you're at peace than when you're in stress what's the right move to make. So anyone who's brilliant in their mind with finances, they still want to have that ability to go below the neck to get the stability. And a great example is in the real estate, when I work with real estate developers, people who are buying properties to build a portfolio, we found the best teamwork was husband and wife, because the husband would bring five or six perfectly analytical opportunities, and then the wife would go below the neck and pick the right one. And they were always successful because it was that teamwork above the neck, below the neck.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, I'm following you on that, which begs the question, who is the financial freedom system for? Who gets the greatest amount of value to master money and transform their life?
Everyone who wants to feel at peace with money. So to feel strong and solid in yourself in relationship with money, so that you use money as a tool instead of money controlling you and other people controlling your money.
I think about those that work within financial services, those that work at a bank, those that work at a credit union. I've been speaking to this recently, I would say within the past year or so. And when we look at the data, 85% of people in the United States feel financial stress and anxiety. Stash.com FinTech did a study that found one out of every three people, they're losing sleep because of this stress and this anxiety. So it's taking a toll on people's physical well-being, mental well-being, relational well-being. Those even who work within a financial brand, though, at a bank, at a credit union, perhaps there's even some imposter syndrome here or some additional stress, because it's like, I work in an organization who is here to help people with financial situations, and I'm struggling here myself. So then that's an exponential multiplier into some of the struggle. Morgan Stanley, go ahead.
If you think of all those people working in the industry, if they were solid below the neck, they had this financial stability. When they're working with their clients or working with their teams, they're able to make better decisions because of the stability, rather than being stressed and running on numbers and not having any feeling of what's the right way to go or knowing what's the right way to go. So building the whole team in, say, a bank or a credit union where everyone in the team is solid, then they're going to be they become attractive to new business, because people gravitate towards confidence and stability. They don't really gravitate towards hype and ego and arrogance. There's sort of like there's a tendency to be like this, and then they get upset if they go, they're upset with themselves because they didn't listen to their intuition. What this is doing is building that solid foundation so that you can act on your intuition. Everyone gets intuition, but no one has the power to act on it. So by having that power in your body to be able to act on the intuition, if you're, say, in a meeting with the client at the bank, you're able to guide them in the best possible way for them, because you can see more than just the numbers. You can see in the relationship with the person and their relationship with money.
I want to pause on this point, because what you're talking to here, I think, is very, very important to unpack that much further for those that watch and listen to this podcast. When you increase the peace of those inside your organization, you can then elevate and level up the confidence that is communicated. And if I go back to some of the thinking in previous podcast episodes that I've done on this idea of communicating confidence or confidently communicating confidence, that is a key element in today's chaotic world where there's a lot of financial instability. Can we unpack this a little bit further?
When the world is going crazy, right?
Yeah.
Someone who is confident or grounded, they become attractive because it's like a breath of fresh air. I'm not being pulled this way and that way. I actually focus on connecting with this person who they become a leader. And they don't even have to hype, they don't have to sell, they just be themselves because people feel the solidity of it and they become attractive.
That's the key. They don't have to hype and they don't have to sell. And I hear a lot of times within financial brands, particularly community institutions, community banks and credit unions, there is sometimes a resistance to quote unquote selling. And one of the methodologies that we teach, it's four simple words: help first, sell second. And it is embodying the role of the helpful and empathetic guide. And every hero, whether you're Luke Skywalker or Mr. Miyagi, we all are looking for a helpful guide on this journey, in this particular case, a financial journey. And I think even further, when we think about the internal employee perspective, one of the things that I'm writing to in my upcoming book, Banking on Change, is a formulaic approach to where, in parentheses, EX plus HX can be then multiplied, and in some cases exponentially multiplied, by DX, meaning a positive employee experience leads to a positive human experience that can then be multiplied by a positive digital experience. But it all starts with the employee experience. And Morgan Stanley notes that, quote, over the course of a year, a full-time employee may spend more than 156 hours or 19 and a half days distracted from work because of personal financial matters. Based on the average hourly wage, you could effectively be paying financially stressed employees $3,922 or more each year to fret about money on the job. So then there's this whole internal perspective. And now I know something else too that you have shared with me of who you're looking to help with this is families. Mm-hmm. And I think also about community financial brands, credit unions, community banks, and the potential for them to help strengthen families within their communities in entirely new ways. Can you expand upon the family perspective here, going beyond just the internal employee perspective?
Well, when I've worked with families to build their foundation, their financial foundation, it's incredible the feedback I get. Like one family, it stands out. They called me. The husband called me. He says, "You won't believe this. The weirdest thing happened. I didn't always take the trash out of the kitchen twice a week, and now it's only once a week, and we're all losing weight." So as they were building their foundation, they weren't as hungry because the stress wasn't there. And so they consumed less, which, of course, the bottom line, they're not spending as much. So there's all this ripple effect that happened from it. Another guy, he was desperate to get in. He wanted to have a family and he wanted to get in a relationship, but all the women were not attracted to him. And the reason was he had a very successful financial business, but they couldn't feel any stability with him. And when he started doing the foundation account, it became attractive. So it wasn't about the money. It was about the stability that they were looking for. And now he's got a wife and family as a result by building his foundation account, building that solid energy below the neck so that you become attractive, you become secure to others.
I want to shift the discussion from your story and how you came to this, because I think you are bringing a very empathetic approach, because you know what it feels like.
Hell on earth.
There you go. Like you said, those sleepless nights. How does this work practically? Because we've talked about a couple of different points, and I've read the book. And you mentioned foundation account, but I want to come back to we talked about the number, 35 was your number. The billionaire was $15. This gets into the foundation account. So for those who are watching or those who are listening, the financial freedom system has 7 different steps. And for the sake of time, I know we can't go deep into all of this, and I know that you have a program that teaches this as well, but can we at least provide some high level perspective into what I think you and I are talking about that others might not have clarity around, to give them
perspective? The craziest thing about this is it's not about the money. It's all about the money, but it's not about the money. It's about transforming your physiology so that you become solid and you become attractive. You become more able to make better decisions for yourself, for your family, for your business, because you feel relaxed. And so the money is just a tool, again, to transform our physiology, to transform our bodies. So that's where the money number is different for everyone, because everyone has a different starting point. And even people who we talk about in the book about visualizing, if you open your bank account and there was a whole year of income sitting in your account, how would you feel? Right? Most people, I feel fantastic. I feel so relieved. But of course, as soon as you stop thinking about it above the neck, the stress is back. So this is an action so that you can manifest that experience both above the neck and below the neck. So it's not about even the amount of money you accumulate as a result of doing this program. It's about reprogramming below the neck so that you feel fantastic all the time. You make good decisions. Like one guy, he was out buying shirts and he realized his intuition said, you haven't put your deposit in this week. So he stopped the purchase, went to do the deposit at the bank, came back, picked up the shirt and goes, I don't want this anymore. Because he was buying from a level of stress he wasn't aware of. And as soon as he had done the deposit and started giving to himself first, putting the oxygen mask on himself before he helps others or gives money to others, then he got his strength and he was able to make a better decision.
We're getting into what we were talking about before, like the beliefs that we have about money and how much belief will then influence our thoughts. Our thoughts go on to impact our emotive, our feeling state, which will then directly determine how we act or what actions that we take, which is a very practical example of this gentleman who was going to buy a shirt. Oh, I didn't make my deposit. Transformed his action, because the actions that we take become our habits, and 95% of those habits run almost at a subconscious level that we might not even be consciously aware of. So bringing even a sense of higher level of conscious thinking here, like you said, it's not about the money. It's about
the transformation.
And
so it's not relying on you thinking constantly of the issue. You're having it all the time. Like if you visualize your account statement showing the whole year's income, that disappears. That freedom disappears as soon as you stop thinking about it. So making it below the neck. Now, a great example this is how I learned about it, wasn't about the money. When I started this, I thought it was about getting rid of all my financial stress. Right. Well, it was, but getting rid of my debt and so forth. So when I realized the change to the not about the money was when I had $200 sitting in my wallet, I felt my energy change, or I felt more peace. I thought, that's interesting. So I kept playing with that. And whenever my wallet went down under $200, I felt this level of stress come back. So I kept building my foundation and keeping $200 in my wallet at all times.
Yeah.
And that was my number. Everyone has different numbers. And there was a certain point, which I talk about in the book, where you hit the critical mass, that point where everything transforms in you below the neck, where it didn't matter if I had zero in my wallet, I still felt the same amount of peace. Huh. It was brilliant. So we're transforming our reality so we don't have to use our mind anymore for visualizing the future, what we want. It becomes, you become attracted to it because it's in your body, in the cells in your body.
I think about my own personal financial narrative that I'm working to transform from my family of origin and my upbringing. As a kid, I always heard, we can't afford it. Can't afford it. Can't afford it. And it came from a family of, we'll just say modest means, always had food and, you know, whatnot, but just that record and some of the decisions that I've made over the years to act out against that haven't always been a positive decision. It might have been a temporary
a rebellion, right?
Yeah, against the right. And it might have been a temporary pleasure, but you know, and I would say this level of consciousness has probably come within the last year or so, even just with conversations with my wife. And I guess once again, there's hope here, because Tammy Lally, you know, she has a fantastic TED talk on the subject of financial stress and anxiety, and even her TED talk is on financial shame. How does the transformation, once again, because this is not about money, it's a deeper level, I think, discussion. It's a bigger transformation. The reason
I would use those negative emotions, like the shame, as an asset to drive your commitment to change your life.
Yeah.
So don't try to get rid of the shame, but use it as a tool to drive the commitment. Because if you didn't have the shame, you wouldn't even worry about doing the program. But if you do, but then again, you start creating more stress. So use the anger against being poor, or use the stress around the having too many bills, and use them as tools to drive you to do the program, to transform your body, transform your whole life.
So
don't throw it away.
Yeah,
so it's all about transformation.
And then I think about, like, you know, we've got the Hawkins scale of consciousness. And what you're speaking to here is to transform, like, pain into power, to transform maybe fear into fuel, to drive forward beyond the present state, to then elevate, to get to something even bigger, better, and brighter going forward into the future.
Just like if you put heat and pressure on coal, and enough heat and pressure, eventually it's going to turn into a diamond.
Correct.
It's the same thing. So using those shames, those angers, those stress as the fuel to compress yourself, to push yourself, to transform. And the diamond can never go back to being a piece of coal.
Yeah.
Once you transform below the neck, it's for life. And I realized this because when I moved to Europe, my whole business took a massive drop in income, yet I had no stress. I was like, this is amazing. This really works, right? So it was like, it was just a confirmation that I was on the right track to go take a move to really damage my income and see no stress. It was incredible. And then moving from there to the US and having the abundance mentality flow.
Well, it's an interesting point on abundance. And we're talking about fear, because I think there's two ways that we can look towards the future. We can look at it through a lens of fear and scarcity, or we can look at it through a lens of faith and abundance. One of the points here in your book, and this almost brings us full circle, you did this yourself back in April of 1999, taking responsibility. What are the opportunities here for someone who is watching or listening and they work at a bank, they work at a credit union, or they work at an organization who helps banks and credit unions, and they're like, you know what? You're speaking to me. I hear you. How can I practically begin to take responsibility for my financial situation so that I can experience this peace that you're talking about here today, Daniel?
So that's, I wrote the book as simple as possible. So it's like easy to follow, to do the action. The only thing you need to bring to it is the commitment and the drive, which is like that not wanting to be in the same way anymore, wanting to transform. Bring that, you bring that to the party, and the steps, following the steps, will take care of it all.
Seven simple steps.
That's it. And I actually have a financial freedom accelerator program where people can, it, like the accountability we talked about earlier, is like having the accountability every week, getting emails to help encourage you. And now I'm talking about different ideas, how we can help people who might be on their own and don't have a support team around them to grow, to actually go in and have that support digitally every week, every month, every quarter.
And this is where I see the financial freedom system being an exponential multiplier of value that a community financial brand could provide to their internal employees to raise their confidence and to increase their peace, which then makes them more attractive to have even better conversations with account holders and prospective account holders. And then from there, bring this as a methodology to increase the financial confidence and to provide peace to their account holders that goes beyond just a transaction.
Can you imagine the ripple effect it has on the team, the community, everything? The bank gets stronger. It actually, they would make better decisions when they're coming from a place of stability instead of competing in the marketplace. It's more about collaboration rather than competition, and collaborating with their members of society, their employees, their clients, and so forth. Bringing that collaboration together so everyone grows and everyone gets strong.
Well, the theme of today's conversation has been transformation, and it goes beyond money once again to reinforce that point from you. But I also think about this banking on change methodology that we have been teaching financial brands when it comes to transformation. They think three, but I've identified four elements that lead to human transformation, regardless of if you're talking transformation within an organization, digital transformation, cultural transformation, brand transformation, financial transformation. The first step is to see things from a different perspective, which is one of the reasons why, if you're watching or listening to this, go grab a copy of The Financial Freedom System. It will help you see things from a different perspective. When one begins to see things differently, they're going to begin to think differently. But as I have asked financial brand leaders, so for an agreement, you see different, you think different. Yes. Okay. So you see different, you think different. What happens next? 98% of them have responded that they're going to act different. And I go, really? Are you going to act different? I'm going to challenge you on that kindly and respectfully. And I'll be the first one to step up and say, there's a lot of things that I know philosophically and mentally, intellectually, that I need to do different, but I'm not doing for multiple reasons. To bridge the gap between the thought and the action comes down to feeling, the desire, the feeling, the emotion to now take action has to be greater than the desire to remain the same. And so we bridge the gap between thought and action with feeling. And I think, is this where we're going from above the neck to below the neck?
100%. Because all the emotion comes in the body. You know, the tension I felt in my body when I was so stressed with the money and the finances, using that energy and driving into action to transform is the key.
Yeah. And so you have these four steps: see, think, feel, then act. But then the accountability that comes back into this. And one of the things I've been talking about transformation is all transformation must begin within. Mm-hmm. It starts with the self, mm-hmm. then the team, because teams are made up of individuals. You transform the self, you transform the team, you transform teams. Now you're transforming the entire organization. You transform the organization. That transformation can then spill over into the lives of account holders, and then from account holders into communities.
Their families.
The families, the ripple effect right there. Mm-hmm. As we wrap up here, Daniel, what is, and I know that you have the accelerator, I know you have the book, but I always like to send those who have shared some time with us today off with one small practical next best step that they can take to begin to move forward and make progress on their own journey of growth. What would that one small next step be that they can do right now?
What I did was when I decided, I grabbed a Ziploc and I grabbed some money from my wallet and put it in there, just to start the process. And in 2008, when the global financial crisis hit, people asked me, they lost confidence in the banks, which we want to get back, right? And so they asked me for a new way. So I created the box instead of the bank. So there's two methods, which I talk about in the book, but having that power to hold your energy and not let it leak out. This is a big thing. When we leave out, there's an energetic shift when you close the, I use an old spaghetti jar when I was experimenting with this. When you close the lid and have the money inside, it holds the energy. Whereas you leave the like a jar with the lid open and the money's just piling up, it loses energy. So you want to contain the energy. So contain your finances, right? Get control of them. Get real with them. Don't avoid your financial situation, look at it and deal with it and use that reaction to drive you to change transform your life.
There you go. What a great way to wrap up here, Daniel. If someone is watching, if they are listening, what is the best way for them to connect with you, to say hello, to reach out, to get the book, to join the accelerator?
Yeah, they can just go straight to danielwhitecoaching.com. I think it's /community or this accelerator, and go from there.
Connect with Daniel, learn with Daniel, grow with Daniel. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Banking on Digital Growth podcast. This has been a lot of fun today.
It's been a lot of fun, yes, for sure.
As always, and until next time, be well, do good, and be the light. We'll be right back.